I'm going to make a very, very short summary of what we learned so we can move forward. We're learning in a Maimer, a discourse from the Rebbe. This is year 1958. The Maimer, the discourse is based on a verse that the verse God is telling Yaakov Uforatzta. You will actually expand yourself and etc. etc. in all directions. And he mentions the directions. And the Rebbe asks basically, Foratzta pritza basically means just expand yourself without limits. Why does the verse says, after saying basically infinity, why does it say that you will expand yourself in specific directions? So is it infinity or is not infinity? Make up your mind. And the Rebbe says this is the same thing that happens with the Shema. In the Shema we see these two ideas of bli gvul, infinity, and gvul, finite, because it says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, God, which is infinite, he actually is one in the eight, in the Ches and the Dalet, the four directions of the world, and the heavens and the earth. So we see that the same thing happens, infinity within a finite world. So the Rebbe explained these ideas of Shema before asking a question, before he asked a question about the first paragraph of the Shema and the second paragraph of the Shema, where we see that it talks about Torah and mitzvahs, Torah and commandments. Torah is learning Torah, and commandments is fulfilling the different things that God tells us to do or not to do. And the Rebbe asks why in the first paragraph of the Shema, which is in Parshas Vayeshanan, it says, first of all, Torah, you should learn, and then it says mitzvahs, you should fulfill the commandments. But in the second parsha, it says the other way, first commandments and then Torah. In order to explain all of this, the Rebbe went on to explain what the Shema is, actually, in general. And basically, the Rebbe said, look, there's a back and forth from up down, from down up. You can understand the greatness of God according to your understanding, by meditating in the creation, etc., and the greatness of God, etc., by you making this work of meditating in the greatness of God, the way you understand it, then you're going to project into your life and the world, etc., the real greatness of God. And you will understand that He's infinite, etc., etc., and whatever greatness you understood before, that's not really the greatness of God. It's the way you get it, but not the real greatness of God. So that's from up down, from down up. We are in page 253 in the fourth chapter, but we did a whole paragraph, relatively long paragraph, in the beginning of the fourth chapter. And over there, the Rebbe says, look, the whole idea of Torah and mitzvahs is also this thing of uniting infinite with finite. We said this about Uforatzta, the verse that gives beginning to the discourse. And then we said the same thing about the Shema. And the Shema in general is Torah mitzvahs. And Torah mitzvahs in general means put together infinite and finite. The way the Rebbe said it is Kudsh Abrihu Ushchinte, the infinity of God and His presence, Soivev Umemale, how God transcends the world, how God fills the world. Okay, this has to be put together, so to speak. And in this putting together, uniting, whatever, these two expressions of God, you have from down up, from up down. The same thing that we found in this verse that we said before about the greatness of God, Lecho Hashem HaGedula VeGevura, yours God is the greatness, etc., etc. That's, again, in two ways, from up down, from down up. Okay, Vehine. Now, Ichud Zeh Ubechlalus Al Yedei Kriyat Shema. This unification of the two expressions of God, how God is infinite and how God is finite at the same time, when does it happen? How does it happen? Through the reading of the Shema. Sheba oimrim avay elokeinu avay echad. That's where you say, actually, God, our Lord, God is one. Upirush Rashi, and Rashi explains, it's very interesting, the Rebbe only brings a part of Pirush Rashi. If you look at Pirush Rashi in the Shema, in Parshas Vayeshanan, he says definitely something else. Not what the Rebbe is bringing here. The Rebbe just cut and paste pieces of Rashi. Rashi says God, that is the God of our God right now, is going to be the God of all the nations in the future. And Rashi brings over there in the commentary that in the future Everybody's going to serve God shoulder to shoulder, etc. It's Fanya, it's a prophet, Fanya chapter 3. Rashi brings that, but the Rebbe cut the Rashi and doesn't quote the whole thing. Why? Because the Rebbe right now is focusing on one particular detail, the detail of uniting Avaye and Elohim, like Soivev and Memale, how God is infinite and how God is not infinite, etc., etc. That's why the Rebbe just cut the Rashi. Pirush Rashi, what does that mean? Shema Yisrael, etc. Harei, I'm sorry, Avaye Shu Elokeinu Ato U'osid Liyois Avaye Echot. Translation, God, that is our Lord right now, He will be our God with one. He will be one. In the future, He will be one. Today, we have like two names of God. But in the future, it's going to be just one name, so to speak. Vehainu, that's the same thing. That's the meaning of the Shema. Unity, unification, whatever. Vehainu, kemay marazal, al apasuk vayomahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo yechad. Just our sages say on this verse in Zechariah, in that day when Mashiach comes, etc., God will be one and His name will be one. And our sages ask in the Talmud, Atu ha'idna lav shmoy echadu? Are you going to tell me that today His name is not one? He's not one. I mean, God is not one. How many gods do you have? It's only one. So why is the verse saying God will be one in the future? What do you mean one? Today is also one. Umeshane, and the Talmud answers, this world is not like the next world. In this world, I'm just translating literally. That's why it sounds weird. And I just want to show each word what the word means. Not like I'm written today, I'm cold. Not like the way I'm written, I'm cold. Nichtav and Nikra. Nichtav ani beyutkei. Today you write my name, yutkei vavkei, four letters. Okay, but Nikra ani beadnai. But I'm called the Lord. I'm not called with my real name, quote unquote. Aval leilam haba, kulo yachad. But in the next world, it's going to be just one thing. Nikra beyutkei ve nichtav beyutkei. You write my name. I'm sorry, you call my name with the four letters of the name of God, and you will write my name with the four letters. That's what the Talmud says on this verse in Zechariah. Okay, so we see some kind of unity in this name of God, or something that it's lacking, so to speak, in the name of God, etc., etc., that the Talmud is saying in the future is going to be one. The idea behind this is like this. Shenikrahu begilui venichtavu behelem. Whatever you call a thing, that's the way this thing reveals. You see this thing. That's why you call it this way. Venichta, whatever you write about this thing is behelem. It's hidden. It's not something that everybody knows, so to speak. That's why today we call God our Lord, or the Lord, whatever, my Lord, Adnai. But you write it with the four letters of the name of God. That's why. That's because this name of God that represents something that transcends the world, that's hidden. We can't get it. You can't understand it because it's infinite. We don't understand infinite, etc., etc. Uvegilui, but in a revealed way, urak atna. He's just my Lord. He's the law, he's the authority. Okay, that I get it. Go do what I say. Okay. Aval le'osid, but in the future, ye'ayichud begilui. This unification will be revealed. Behainu, that means, shegam avaye ye begilui. Even the name of God that transcends the world, that will be revealed. That's what it means, so to speak, that God's name is going to be one. It's going to be revealed the way it really is. That's what it means, the verse in Zechariah, that it says, in that day, in the future to come, etc., his Avaye will be one, God will be one, and His name will be one. Today, we just have that the name of, so to speak, not the name of God, He himself is one, definitely. Aval bishmoy, but in his name we have a quote unquote, not to be misunderstood, a problem, so to speak. Something is hidden. Bechinas Adnai, that means how he is the Lord, etc., etc. Efshar liyeis pirut, there could be some separation. To the point, I'm adding this, it's not in my mind, to the point that somebody can say God doesn't exist, God forbid. But is there people? Are there people that think this way? Yes. And who is allowing that? God. What do you think? If something is not supposed to exist because that God doesn't want it, so it doesn't exist. So simple. Why don't we have Martians walking in whatever in the Fifth Avenue in New York? Because that God doesn't want. I don't know if they exist or not. I don't care. But God doesn't want this. That's why it doesn't exist. So there could be, in the name of God, some pirud, some separation, so to speak. But in the future, his name is also going to be one. Because also in that name of God, which represents my Lord, also is going to shine the infinity of God. So we see again a connection between infinity and finite world. According to this, we're going to understand also why the city Yerushalayim is called the city of our Lord. That means, because in that city, you have a revelation, in the city of our Lord, you have a revelation of the greatness of God in a revealed manner. That's what it represents, the unification of these two names, the infinity of God and the finitude, so to speak, teva, nature. That's why in the temple, in Yerushalayim, etc., they used to call the name of God just as it's written. It's a special place where it can be revealed even, so to speak, today. Okay, today we don't have a temple, of course, but that's what they used to do when the temple was built. This is also something we explained in the previous discourse. We didn't learn it. Why is it that what's the reason why in the temple they used to not answer Amen? No answer Amen. Even though our sages say in the Talmud that is greater the merit of a person that answers Amen more than the person that makes the blessing itself. So why didn't they say Amen in the temple? Because this whole idea of Amen is to accomplish that there should be unification of these two names in a revealed manner. I don't remember exactly right now, but Amen, there's a combination of the name of God, Avaye and Elohim, that goes together with the word Amen. I don't remember exactly now how it worked, but that's what the Rebbe is referring to. In the temple, there was no need to perform, to actually do any unification. Why? Because the fact itself that they were in the temple itself, the essence of the temple, what was the temple? The unification of God. You don't need to do something to unify God. You know what I mean? What do you mean? That's the temple. In the temple, it's revealed. That idea of unification of God is revealed. That's why it says regarding the temple, in Parshas Beshalach, that it was done with his hands, in plural, beis yadayim, two hands. Avaye velekim, venitan bein shtei ha'isyos. And this is given, this verse is within two names of God, Mikdash Adnai Koinu Yodecho, and it says Adnai Imlech Lelam Voed. God will, so you have the name of God, the temple done by his hands, and then the name of God again. Avaye ve'Adnai, these two names of God. So you see that the temple, with this the Rebbe is like trying to prove, or actually proving, that the temple itself represented this unification of these two names. So there was no need to actually do something in the temple to represent that because it was already represented by the temple itself. Now, this unification today, how do you do that? You do this by learning Torah in fulfilling mitzvah's commandments. Shebechol mitzvah, mitzvah nase inyan ha'ichud b'ofen prati. In each particular commandment, mitzvah, you unify these two names in a particular way. V'kriyas Shema u'klalus ha'ichud. In Shema, the general idea of unification of God is represented by the Shema. V'zehu shekriyas Shema u'klalus kol ha'Torah v'mitzvahs. That's what it means, that Shema represents in general all the Torah mitzvahs. Again, Torah mitzvahs is to unify the names of God. Shema is to unify the names of God. Each mitzvah unifies in one way the name of God. So Shema, because it encompasses all the mitzvahs and all the Torah, represents the whole unification of those names. So actually it's the same thing, Shema and Torah mitzvahs. That doesn't mean that you can learn Torah just by saying the Shema, or you're fulfilling all the mitzvahs just by saying the Shema. No, the Rebbe is not saying this. The Rebbe is saying, look, they represent the same ideas. In one hand, Torah and mitzvahs is in a very particular way, and in the other hand, it's in a general way. But they represent the same ideas. Kivan shebekriyas Shema uklalus inyan ha'ichud, because the Shema represents, in general, unification, ubemitzvahs nase alidei kol mitzvah ichud prati. And in each commandment, each mitzvah, you unified these two names in a particular way. So in this chapter, the Rebbe explained how Shema means, basically, and represents the same ideas as the whole Torah and mitzvahs. Hey, 5. Omnam, however, adayin tzarich lehovin. We still need to understand. Eichep shal lifol ha'ichud adei ha'mitzvahs. How can you actually do this unification through mitzvahs, through commandments? What's the problem? Debish leima betoirah. It makes sense. Bishlem is a classical Talmudic word. It makes sense that through Torah you can do this unification. Why? Because the Torah in itself, what is Torah? Understanding. You have to understand the greatness, not the wisdom of God. Oh, word didn't come out. The wisdom of God. You have to understand, that's Torah, that's a spiritual thing. Therefore, through Torah, which is a wisdom, understanding, spiritual, you can do something that represents spirituality, a unification of names of God, whatever. But each commandment, it's a physical thing. As it's known, the Rebbe puts into parentheses, between parentheses, that even the commandments that are actually an obligation of the heart, like loving God or something like that, fearing God, those commandments should also be felt in the flesh, in the heart itself, physical heart. Like your heart should pump stronger when you love God, when you fear God, etc. So, therefore, how can you do through something physical, an action, something spiritual? How can you affect the world in a spiritual way by doing something physical? It doesn't make sense. That's what the Rebbe is asking. Through Torah, I can understand it. Through mitzvahs, no. But you told me that the Shema is Torah and mitzvahs, both things. So I don't get it. We're going to understand this if we first understand why our sages say that action is greater. The Rebbe is going to explain the question. It's a very, very interesting question. Action is greater. That's what our sages say. And our sages don't say the commandments, mitzvahs, are greater. Apparently, our sages should have said when they argued, as we saw in the first class, when they argued what's greater, Torah or mitzvahs, and they ended up saying Torah is more important. Why? Because Godel Torah shemevi lidim mais. That's the phrase of our sages. Great is the Torah that brings to action. So what's greater? Action, not Torah. Action. But the Torah brings to the action. Okay, but the way our sages said it again is G'doyla Torah shemevi lidim maise. It's great, the Torah, which means learning, that it takes to action. So the Rebbe is asking, what do you mean action? It should have said mitzvahs. greatest Torah, that you're arguing, what's greater, Torah or mitzvahs? And you end up saying, no, action. What do you mean action? Mitzvahs. We were arguing mitzvahs or not. And you tell me action, the word action doesn't make sense. It's a weird word in this sense. That's what the Rebbe said. He should have said, Hava Leile Meimar, another Talmudic classic, Haloshen Torah Gedoyla, that the Torah is greater, or mitzvahs Gedoylois, or that the commandments are greater. Okay. Why does the Torah say, our sages, say, Talmud, which means learning, and Maise, which means doing? We were not talking about learning and doing. We were talking about Torah and mitzvahs. Why do you change the Lashon, the words? The idea is like this. The Maise, Umelashon Kefiah. The word action, Maise, actually can be understood in many ways. The most simple understanding of Maise is action. But the Rebbe here is bringing another explanation, and it's going to be proofs, two proofs. Kefia. Kefia means forcing a person to do something. That's what kefia means. How do you see that this word Maise is related to forcing a person? Okay, get ameuse. Get ameuse means a divorce document forced. Somebody is forcing the man to divorce the woman. So it's not a valid get. It's not a valid divorce. But the key word over here is meuse. You see, it's the same word as maise. But in this case, it doesn't mean just a regular action. It means somebody is forcing you to do something. And then he brings another proof. V'chen me'asin el tzedakah. It's a classical rabbinical phrase. It's not written in the Talmud, etc. It says you can force the people of the city to give tzedakah. Like, imagine the cities in old times, okay? They were like 200 people, 5,000 people, not so many. And they have to keep the shul, the synagogue, and they have to buy a Sefer Torah, and they have to buy books, etc., etc. And somebody doesn't want to give money. A few people give money, and somebody doesn't want to give money. So the rabbi of the city, he has the power of forcing people to give money to buy whatever they need for the community, of course, not for the house of the rabbi, for the community. That's what it's called me'athin ala tzedakah. You can force to give tzedakah. Of course, not anybody can do this, okay, but the point is that such an expression exists. V'zehu lashon maise gadol. That's why our rabbis chose the words maise gadol. The action is greater. It didn't say mitzvahs gedoylois. The commandments are greater. No. Maise. Nefishei kar mailas ha-mitzvahs hi, because the main virtue of mitzvahs, what's the main virtue of commandments? Lo mitzvah mitzvah tzman. Not the commandment itself. Did you put on tefillin? Did you put on the talis? Not the commandment itself. The main thing is that you're forcing yourself to do something that you would not do unless God tells you. That means nobody, no regular and mindful human being would put on black boxes in the head, tefillin, and in the heart, in the arm. What are you doing? You're really crazy. What is this? And they cost so much, like you're spending so much money on stupid things. What are you doing? Okay, I force myself because this is what God said. This is what he wants. That's the kefia shebeamitz, the forcing yourself in the commandment itself. A person forces himself to fulfill the commandment, even though he doesn't really want. It doesn't matter. God said this, I believe in God, so I do this. Just like giving charity, whatever the translation is, tzedakah, klolos amitzes, which our sages say that this includes or represents all the commandments. How does it work? Shekoife es atzmoi, liten ma'oisav, shenisyaga aleyem bigias nefesh bigias basar. A person forces himself or herself, whatever, to give from his money that he or she, whatever, it's the same thing, won with a lot of effort, spiritual effort and physical effort. Like, I went to work and I made this money for me. Why should I give it to you? So a person forces himself and gives it to somebody else. Even if you're going to tell me certain people just sit home and the money just grows because they have so much money in the bank, so I didn't actually work, I didn't do anything. However, with this money, he could have bought something for himself. I want a new Ferrari. I have already 5 over here. I want a new one. Okay? Don't buy the new Ferrari and give the money to a yeshiva. Oh, so you could have done something else, but you didn't do it. Even so, you could have bought something else. You give it to a poor person. To give life to somebody that is really humbled. The same way, just as you find it in tzedakah, because tzedakah, charity, is the general idea of mitzvahs, in general, you find the same thing of forcing yourself in all the mitzvahs. So that's the main thing, in this maimar at least, in this discourse of the mitzvahs. That's what they represent. In ideas like this. Shekashira adam oise bitula rotzen, vetzimtzum benafshu mipin rotzen Hashem. When a person nullifies his own will and contracts, so to speak, his own soul, which this is referring to what the Rebbe said before, that you could have bought a new Ferrari and you, instead of that, you gave it to the yeshiva. So you contracted yourself and you don't have the new Ferrari. I'm so sorry. You have 5, not 6. And why did you do that? Because of Ratzon Hashem. Because that's what God wills. That's what he wants. Through this, a person generates in the heavens, whatever, lemaila, above, a contraction and an unification of the will of God, so to speak. For what? That there should be this unification of the name of God that represents infinity and the name of God that represents Avaye and Elohim for that, on the other side. Nature. Ve'ayno, that means lehamshich ora seivev uleyachdu imera memale, to project this light that is called seivev kolanu, how God transcends the whole world, and unify that light with oira memale, with the light of God filling the world. Shezehu ma shenifal al yedei kiyum ha-mitzvos. This is what is done through keeping, fulfilling the commandments. Ukemo mitzvos truma. Like, for instance, in the desert, when the Jewish people were going to build the tabernacle, the Mishkan, there was a mitzvah truma. Like it says, I confused with Parshas truma. He's referring to donation, the donation that the Jewish people used to give the kohen, the priests, of the produce of the earth. That's truma. Kama shekosuv, as it's written, ve'yukhuli truma, you have to take for me a donation. For me means for God, but you give it to the priests, to the koyanim. Through you giving something to, so to speak, the servants of God, so you're generating that God should give somebody something. I'm sorry, to the world. This is what it means. Another verse, I think it's chapter 30 of Tehillim. I will raise you. My God, my Lord, so to speak, my King, or my Lord, the King, something like that. But based pirushim shebaze, with the two ideas within this, it doesn't go into the whole details. Shebitkila poyel ramen bechinas elokei amel elokei amelach velechinas ramen muzikeser. He gives a very brief explanation and moves on. So I'll be brief also because it's not really the essence of what we're trying to learn. At the beginning, a person makes, does something, leroimem, to elevate the level of God, my Lord, the King. Where do you elevate it? To a level that is called keser, crown, whatever, very mystical and elevated level. And afterwards, you generate that there should be a projection from that high and lofty level to how God is the King down here. So you do your part, you elevate something, and then you project something down here. The same thing that he said before about the greatness of God. All of these, you actually do it by this thing of forcing yourself and nullifying your will that you do by fulfilling each commandment. Through this you reach, so to speak, this light of God that is beyond the worlds, and you bring it down, you project it, and you unify it with the word, with the light of God that fills the world. Which is the same thing that we said before, the unification of these two names of God. That's the reason why, in general, this unification is done by the reading of the Shema. Because this is another idea within the Shema, represents a the nullification of just sacrificing your life for God. As our sages say, you should give, when you say in Shema, you should be ready to give your life for God when saying Echot. One. The same thing happens with every single mitzvah. The main thing over there is the forcing yourself, the nullifying yourself through each mitzvah. This is what generates unification of God. In other words, four more lines, but in other words, by you going beyond yourself, you make God, so to speak, go beyond himself. It's not that we actually influence or change anything, no. This is what he wants. He's expecting us to go beyond ourselves, and he will answer, so to speak, by going beyond himself. What does that mean, to go beyond ourselves? Very simple, something you wouldn't do, go do it. And in God, very simple, he created a world where he is hidden. And that's the way he wants it. If we go beyond ourselves, so he will go beyond himself, he will reveal himself. That's what it's saying. Within the world. This is also the reason why Kriyas Shema in general, the reading of the Shema, is in general represents all the mitzvahs. Because the nullification that a person accomplishes, so to speak, in the reading of the Shema, it's a general idea of bitul, of nullification. And also, this unification of Kriyas Shema is a general thing. And in the commandments, in the mitzvahs, you see that every single mitzvah has a forcing yourself in a particular specific way. Like, there are people that like more this mitzvah, the other mitzvah, so in this one you have to force yourself less because you like it. In that one you have to really force yourself because you don't like it. But you see the idea of forcing yourself. And through forcing yourself in a specific and detailed mitzvah, you generate this unification in a particular and detailed manner.